Welcome to episode one of the Leadership Educator Podcast. My name is Dan Jenkins, and I'm chair and associate professor of leadership and organizational studies at the University of Southern Maine.
And I am Lauren Bullock, assistant professor of instruction at Temple University, and we are both excited for the first episode of the Leadership Educators Podcast. If you haven't listened to our trailer episode, I'm going to invite you to hit the pause button now and navigate to that episode so you're clear on the why behind our work on this podcast.
Thank you, Lauren, for the wonderful introduction. In the trailer, we shared that we are leadership educators and we're looking to provide resources to others. So today we're going to discuss our backgrounds as leadership educators and some of the research in that area.
Dan, I'm really excited to hear your story as there are similarities and differences, I think, between our backgrounds. We're both faculty members, yet I'm new, and you're a department chair. We both started in student organizations as undergrads, yet took completely different paths to teaching. I know we both love Florida State as it's a shared alma mater, but I'd love to hear how you got started in leadership development education.
Sure. Yeah, so I think back to, you know, what was very much probably a cathartic or, you know, experience or catalyst. And as an undergraduate at Florida State University, I remember being invited to a student government political party meeting at Florida State. We had different political parties that students ran under when they wanted to become senators or other types of representatives of student government. And we were in one of the residence halls and Smith Hall, which they sadly tore down a year or two ago. But there was this large meeting area and we were meeting with others. There must've been maybe 60 or 70 people there. And they broke us up into small groups based on some type of four corners exercise about what our favorite music was or pizza or something like that. And once we got into these smaller groups of four different groups of maybe, you know, 10 or 15 people, they asked us what were some things that we were interested in changing at the university. And we brainstormed and they wrote all this down. And then they brought us all back together as a group of, you know, again, 60 or 70. And they started to develop what the platform would be for this student political party. And they were taking all of our ideas that we had proposed and putting them into platform statements. And I thought, huh, it's a really interesting way to do things. That might even be what we might call inclusive. And so I had never really been part of a process like that. And it really, you know, excited me and empowered me. I wanted to learn more. And I got very involved in student government and through my fraternity and just a lot of other leadership experiences and brought some of those types of processes and tools to the organizations that I, you know, led and facilitated opportunities and learning opportunities and leadership development opportunities for the other, you know, my fellow students. You know, fast forward towards, you know, graduation, had an opportunity right out of the university to work at the Florida House of Representatives Appropriations Committee. And while I was filling out applications for law school, there was a little stint at law school for a year, did not do well enough to continue there. And so I returned from there to a master's degree back in Tampa at University of South Florida, focused in political science. And at the same time, I was working in different hospitality roles. I was bartender and server. But when I started my master's, I transitioned full-time to working for a Fortune 150 finance company and learned a lot about, you know, corporate America and certainly bring those experiences back into my classrooms today. During that time, as I was finishing up my master's in political science, I remember getting a phone call from my mom that said, "Hey, you'll never guess who I ran into at Publix." Those in the South will appreciate that. It was someone that a mother of someone who I'd gone to Sunday school with as a young boy. And she just happened to be the dean of the social sciences program at Hillsborough Community College in Tampa. And they were looking for adjunct faculty in their program there in political science. And that was my first opportunity to teach at the, you know, undergraduate level. And, you know, 6 months later, I was looking for a doctoral program, and the interim chair of the doctoral program in higher education administration, the focus was in curriculum and instruction at USF, was also the dean of undergraduate studies for the whole university. And he had seen my CV and, you know, my experience as an undergraduate and said, "Hey, you have this background. You have any interest in teaching a leadership class. I said, yeah, sounds really interesting. And it basically went like this. Oh, well, great. Well, the class starts in a couple of weeks. I'll have a book sent to you. And that was, you know, really being thrust into teaching leadership. And a few months later, I was able to get a role at the university, left my job in finance and took on a role academic advising. I was working with transition programs from the community college to university, the first online program at the university in information technology, and a hospitality program, hospitality management minor that they had there as well. So, you know, really playing to my strengths, but and getting some experience in higher education at the same time, and had an opportunity to move from the advising role to co-coordinating the leadership minor and teaching a course every semester until I started, until I graduated and started applying for a full-time faculty role. And then 7 years ago, I started teaching at the University of Southern Maine as a full-time faculty member, and got tenure a couple years ago and became chair pretty much around that same time. And here I am.
You know, that's such an interesting story. It reminds me of times where I've heard my colleagues share their background. We haven't necessarily started out as a leadership educator, but through some different things, we found our way there. And listening to your background, I also think there are some similarities there. My introduction to student affairs and eventually leadership education started with me serving as a student representative for the Ambler Student Government Association, so our campus SGA. It was my first year and I was a student rep, and then my second year I got elected campus president. I remember the fun activities with my friends and fellow leaders. I remember the opportunities I had as a result. I think the biggest thing was there were spaces that I would not have been in as a regular student that I was in as a student leader. For example, we went on an overnight retreat, and when there were some challenges with how our campus administrators, you know, were, I don't want to say setting things up for us, but we had some questionable things happening on campus. You know, we sat down with the president to discuss that. And, you know, as a regular student, you don't always get those opportunities. And so I really enjoyed my experience as a student leader. And even though my major was sport management, and I thought I was going to go on to be an athletic director, there was still part of me that had a soft spot for student affairs and eventually leadership education. The second thing I heard you say was like the falling into higher education part. My first job was working also in the state of Florida. I was not in government like you. I was probably complete opposite. I was in entertainment. So I worked as a sports media relations intern at Walt Disney World Resort. So anything that came to the theme park or resort that had to do with sports, I worked with the media relations director to ensure that, you know, we got publicity for it. We got coverage by the media. And while I loved it, I had, there were free snacks. You know, every poor college kid loves free snacks. There were, I could get into all the theme parks for free. And I was living in Central Florida. And I think I moved there in January from Philadelphia. I think I got there and there was still snow on my car from the blizzard I left in Philadelphia. I was like, this is not the place for me. It's wonderful. This is not where I'm supposed to be. And by, you know, that serendipity we'll talk about in a little bit, I connected with someone who got me back on a college campus. And, you know, from that point on, I knew I was supposed to work in higher education. And I've never questioned it to this day. You know, sometimes I see the corporate salaries and think, well, maybe I'll go make some money. But, you know, I don't want to trade it for the experiences that I have in higher ed. The third thing I heard was, like, you talk about the person that brought you in, Dean Sullins. My person who brought me in was my mentor. She ran all the activities at my undergrad institution, and I stayed in touch with her even when I was going through my athletics educational and my athletics experience. I always kept in touch with her. And when I was thinking about switching to student affairs because of how much fun I'd had in undergrad, she was like, yeah, let's talk about it some more. And she helped me find my way. And while she originally got me hooked on student affairs, I got hooked on leadership development through ALE, the Association of Leadership Educators. I had two colleagues that invited me to the conference in DC, and I loved it because I finally felt like I was with my people. You know, it was exciting because everyone's so friendly, but it was also great to talk about faculty members and their knowledge, and great to talk about with other student affairs pros about their experiences. And I enjoyed that balance. And so for me, it felt like a win-win. And it felt like for the first time I was like in this community of people just like me who are trying to teach college students, you know, how they could be the best leaders they could be. And so, you know, some of our shared experiences are very universal. But I also know, Dan, that you've done some research on leadership education. Can you share a little bit about your leadership educator research?
Yeah, definitely. And thanks for sharing your story as well. You know, you had me thinking a little bit, actually a lot about, you know, some of the opportunities to just really be kind of thrust into the diversity of the experience of, you know, at Florida State in particular, just such a diverse campus at that time and so many different opportunities to meet people from other, you know, parts of the world. And that really had just a huge impact on my growth and things that I still think about and have brought into the work that I've done today. And, you know, it's those people that you talk to, those people that you meet, those mm-hmm. people that see mm-hmm. something in you that, you know, can propel you into who knows where. And mm-hmm. again, here we are. So, mm-hmm. yeah. So, you know, a lot of our leadership educator peers, you know, have, you know, some of the backgrounds that we shared where they just kind of, you know, serendipitously fell into higher education. It could be, I mean, I've talked to people that have, you know, been in, you know, corporate America, consulting, they were clergy, you know, you name it. And here they are, you know, teaching leadership at a university or work, you know, whether it be in a curricular or a co-curricular, you know, context. And so in thinking about, you know, our journeys, I wanted to share some of the things that I learned from a recent study that I completed and was recently published in the Journal of Leadership Education. And if you're not familiar with that resource, you can find that at journalofleadershiped.org. So journalofleadershiped.org, which is a great journal. I think it's been around for about 20 years and just has amazing scholarship on leadership education. The article that I'm talking about is called Exploring the Lived Experiences of Becoming a Leadership Educator, a Phenomenological Inquiry. So undertook this study as, you know, over the past, you know, decade or so, what was, I guess, if you even look back over the last 25 or 30 years or so, there were in the early 90s, just a couple dozen leadership programs worldwide. And now there's over 2,000 leadership programs, and they include, you know, minors and masters and doctorates and online and face-to-face, and as well as, you know, co-curricular programs found in different areas of student affairs. And so I wanted to learn more about individuals who were working in these areas. So I specifically found 13 experienced leadership educators through a snowball sampling method, reached out to my network and asked for them to recommend some folks. They came from 4 states, 11 different universities, and I wanted to know what were these experiences that they had, you know, becoming and being a leadership educator. So as I looked towards asking them questions that gave them opportunities to share some stories about how they became a leadership educator. And so we just shared our stories. So these 4 sub-themes emerged from how these participants in my study found that they understood this process of becoming a leadership educator. And those were impact, serendipity, fake it till you make it, and developing others. So that first one, impact, and that theme, the participants in my study, they talked about their, you know, and described their inherent need to make an impact on others' lives. And so there was this, you know, like certain, you know, echoed, you know, reflection or desire in those participants to not only make a difference in others' lives through leadership education, but also to see and feel the impact of their work.
I mean, that sounds so familiar. I'm teaching a comm leadership course right now, and we're on the topic of purpose. And I shared with my students that I love my job because it fits my purpose. My purpose in life is to help people communicate who they are and how they lead other people. And so while I love talking about those topics, you know, purpose and values, and what I want my students to do is go out and do something with this. You know, how are you living your core values as a student org leader or student athlete? How are you merging your major with your purpose? You know, I had a mentor who helped me determine my purpose, which keeps me connected to my work. And so I feel like I'm in the right space at the right time. And when things get hard, like I still know that I'm supposed to be here, and it helps me push through simply for that reason, because I want to make that impact.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. We're making a difference, you know, and we have opportunities to do that because we're front facing the students, you know, whether, again, if whether we're in curricular or co-curricular context, you know, we're on the front lines, as they say. Mm-hmm. So that leads me into the second theme of leadership educators' journeys, which was serendipity. And so this one definitely echoes with us based on what we just shared. You know, so in this theme or sub-theme, participants talked about, you know, serendipitously finding their way into leadership education, sometimes as autobiographical work, if you will. And so that, you know, resulted from early impressions or experiences leading others. You know, I think back to my own experience in that student government meeting, you know, and just learning about leadership as a process. Also, though, on the other side, working with bad leaders could also be part of that autobiographical work, and also just a curiosity about the process of leadership development and the terminology. Some of these participants, they began their leadership journeys as grad students or in entry-level student affairs roles like housing, a residence life, or, you know, it could have been they were thrust into some type of imagined leadership program that required development. You know, one of these, hey, my provost says, or my dean or my VPSA says, we should start a leadership program, and I want you to do it. I can't tell you how many people I've met at academic conferences that have that story. And so this led to what two colleagues in our field, Corey C. Miller and Kerry Priest, they wrote about leadership educator, professional identity development, and they refer to this idea as opportunity. And that's where circumstances emerge where individuals, you know, didn't initially set out to be a leadership educator, but there were some alternative paths or opportunities that presented that to them.
So again, you're speaking my language. I worked as a coordinator in student activities at a small satellite campus, so as entry level gets, where we managed everything from orientation to commencement. And while I loved planning those things, I really enjoyed the leadership workshops and trainings I organized. And I had a supervisor who said, you know, as long as you're doing your job, if you want to do this extra stuff around leadership, I have no problem with that. And I found myself creating fancy acronyms for teaching time management and, you know, using my marketing skills to frame leadership as something fun that all the cool kids are doing. And when a job opened up at my university to run the entire University Lake Schools programs, it was my boss who encouraged me to take that leap. She said, you know, you've done the work on a small scale. You're smart, you're intelligent, you're curious, so you can scale up. And more importantly, you have the network at the university where, you know, you have those relationships in place where people will trust you at that level to do a really good job with this. Did you find that you had a similar experience when you were navigating your space about like someone who were not feeling prepared for the job that you were about to take on?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was really reaching out to anybody that was at the university that had any experience teaching these types of classes. I mean, other than, you know, I mentioned the story about Dean Sullins and kind of saying, hey, I'll have a book sent to you in 2 weeks and that's when the class starts. I do remember just, you know, going right to my friend Google, you know, and be like, teaching leadership, like what is there out there? I do remember coming across a resource that was, it was an instructor's guide for the book, which was the book that we used for this class called Leadership Fundamentals. It was called Exploring Leadership for College Students Who Want to Make a Difference, written by Kamavez Lucas and McMahon. And there was an instructor's guide that's a PDF. It's still available if you search online for it, written by, I think, Julie Owen, who was a grad student at University of Maryland at the time that came out, working with Susan Kamavez. And a bunch of other grad students did this project as a class project. And they were developing syllabi and activities for teaching this introductory leadership class. And so I remember that was kind of like my Bible for teaching that first class. And I remember bouncing some of the ideas off of one of the gentlemen who ran. We had a Greenleaf servant leadership, like a leadership living learning community at USF. And Jerry Collins ran that program. And he was a huge impact on me. And I remember going to him, pitching some ideas with him and Steve Rich, who was really a big part of putting together the International Leadership Association's guiding questions for leadership programs. He was one of our adjunct faculty as well. And so I definitely remember that, you know, I was just trying to learn how to teach. And at the same time, I was taking classes in curriculum and instruction. And my the gentleman who, or professor who later became my chair of my dissertation, Jim Eisen, he was a prolific researcher in active learning. And so that too, I think it was the combination of just being around those people at the university that really helped me to, you know, learn these skills I needed to teach this to students.
Well, it's so interesting you say that, because I feel like I had the opposite experience, where I was talking with faculty and anybody who had any connection to the leadership program, but most of my background came from other administrators. So the department that I had taken over grew out of a committee of student affairs professionals. So I was, you know, calling our campus recreation office and talking about like active learning and how they had done ropes courses and all kind of different outdoor activities to teach leadership. And so it was interesting, because when I got into that role, I don't want to say I didn't have a clue, but knowing what I know now, I didn't have a clue. I knew I had a good foundation, but I didn't have a clue. And it opened up the door to so much. And I feel like, you know, had I had some of the resources you mentioned, mm-hmm. I would have maybe gotten to where I got a little bit faster. But at that time, it was just like, don't drown and keep right. these workshops going.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, just keep the class going, you know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I remember too, definitely interacting with some of the student affairs leaders at the university that were running our leadership center for leadership and civic engagement. And I love going to you know, NASPA conferences and, mm-hmm, and interacting mm-hmm. with student affairs professionals, because you know they're in it deep all the time with undergraduates specifically. And I feel there's so much as a faculty member that I can learn from mm-hmm. from my peers on the co-curricular side. And mm-hmm. so those individuals were certainly you know, Jen Espinola and Todd Wells in particular that I remember working with, which is fantastic in that regard. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. As I look at the third theme that came from some of this research, and it goes right to what we're talking about, fake it till you make it. And that is the theme, fake it till you make it. And so there was this opportunity to teach early in our careers. And particularly in, you know, the participants in this study, most frequently, you know, it was in graduate school or, you know, again, this entry level student affairs positions. And while few had any formal teaching preparation, which is no surprise in faculty life, mm-hmm. or any specifically related educational coursework that prepared them to do this work, you know, they didn't have much training specific to leadership studies either. So indeed, many suffered from that, you know, imposter syndrome, and they approached their roles in a fake it till you make it manner.
Yeah, it's interesting that that's one of the sub themes. I remember attending LEI, another great leadership conference for those folks in higher education. And it was during a chat with Susan Calmavez, and a guy all the way across the room, it was at Ohio State, and it was the biggest room I'd ever seen before for one conference, all the way across the room stood up and said, you know, I don't have a leadership education undergrad degree. You know, I'm reading and I'm watching videos and, you know, I'm doing all of these things, like, you know, what should I do? Like, how do I, you know, I'm the director, but I don't have this degree. And, you know, Susan Calmavez looked at them and said, you know, it's okay, honey. Like, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're at these conferences, you are reading, you know, you're committed to being the best for your students. And so, you know, it is just fine. Like, you're doing what you're supposed to do. And I think I heard a collective sigh, myself included, because I, you know, I didn't feel like I felt like I was supposed to be there. Like the universe put you in this place and that's where you're supposed to be. But when I looked around the room, I got caught up with the people that had these leadership education masters and doctorates and wasn't looking at the people like me who didn't have those degrees, but were still committed to doing the work and were still curious and smart and able to understand. And so that third sub-team, that fake it till you make it, definitely resonates with me, but I also think it resonates with a lot of our peers out there.
Yeah, definitely. And some of the quantitative research I've done, collecting data about leadership educators' backgrounds, it is very uncommon. I think it was only maybe like somewhere around 20-something percent of these participants in a study from, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, 1,100 or so respondents to this survey, asking them, you know, where was your terminal degree? And only about 20-something percent actually had a terminal degree in leadership or a related field. You know, it was agriculture and music and, you know, the health sciences and economics. And, you know, it's just all over the place. There were some themes, but it was not it was not uncommon at all for you to, mm-hmm. for these individuals to not have had any, you know, undergraduate or graduate coursework in leadership. or a related field.
I'll be excited to hear in a few years how that's changed. Like I'm currently in a PhD leadership program, and every year our group is getting larger and larger. I'm also seeing more of those programs pop up. I just wrote a recommendation letter for a colleague who's applying to a leadership EDD program. So I think as leadership gains value in the larger community, we're going to see some of that, those opportunities for leadership educators, both as students as well as teachers, pop up.
Yeah, definitely. I know that we just started a graduate certificate in professional leadership education to address that particular need. I know that there's a class on that at Florida State University that Dr. Kathy Guthrie teaches. I believe there's one at Texas State. I believe maybe University of San Diego. I know that some of these are popping up. And so I know that, I can definitely see it. I definitely see the discipline and the field moving in that direction of more formal preparation based on that. But at the same time, one of the things that's beautiful about leadership studies and leadership education is that interdisciplinarity. And I don't think that will ever go away. I love hearing your story about that fake it till you make it as well. And I think about, what was, the why behind that research, this research that I was doing. I sought to describe, what were the lived experiences of becoming and being a leadership educator. And I wanted to know, what drew individuals to the work? What is that preparatory journey look like? And what is it like to be a leadership educator?
It's good to know that moving forward, there's information for people to read. You mentioned impact, serendipity, fake it till you make it. What was the last sub-theme that you found in your research?
I'm glad you asked, Lauren. So the fourth and last sub-theme is developing others. So this theme, participants shared, different experiences, backgrounds and interests, personally, educationally, professionally, where they had this focus in development theory and or practice, including, human, like counseling, human resource development, psychological development, social development, leadership development, student development. And so this term development just kept coming up over and over again. People spoke about these roles in public or student affairs and their commitment to developing people and organizations. So when I was doing, some of the qualitative analysis of this, that term development came up so many times and was preceded by words like cognitive development, intellectual, self, personal, organizational, professional identity, student, training, psychology, resources, human development, social development, adult, anything you could precede development with. And so that theme just jumped out just amazingly, clear.
Yeah, it makes sense. Well, that's the background of education, trying to teach people how to grow and change and hopefully become better. It's also interesting and very relevant to our work. Now, I know in your study, you talked about becoming versus being. Can you share some sub-themes on the being side, like once you are a leadership educator?
Sure. Yeah. So I also asked participants in the study to share a little bit about, what's it like to be a leadership educator now that you've, completed, this journey, although the journey is never ending. But these following, 6 sub-themes emerged. And so they were being a helper, being experimental, being an advocate, being a role model, being passionate, and being an agitator. So if we look at being a helper, this theme, sub-theme, if you will, was similar in ways to the impact sub-theme that we talked about before. It represents participants' commitment to developing people and organizations, as well as their need to impact the lives of others for the greater good. They talked about their work as being selfless. It was about others. It wasn't about them. They wanted to, impact others, but also cited being influenced, by strongly held beliefs or values. With respect to, being experimental, many of the participants talked about how, while they may have learned from mentors and action, they didn't have any training in teaching or leadership studies, as we talked about. They brought their passion for the idea of leadership to the classroom and used it as a quote-unquote educational laboratory. Participants weren't afraid to experiment, and they, at the same time, were authentically invested in the development of their own leadership educator capacity. What if I try this? What might happen? What if I try that? How will students respond? What will they write about in their reflection papers? And so, participants gleaned the benefits of this method over time. and became more strategic instructional planners. And I can definitely relate to that, where I think about, you know, these activities that just students are like, oh my gosh, that was my favorite activity of the semester, and those ones that just crashed and burned.
Yeah. I can definitely relate. All sound very reasonable and relatable as you explain them out, especially thinking about some of the questions or conversations I've had with my colleagues about being an agitator. I know my students would tell me or say that about me, because I'm constantly asking, how do you know? What do you mean? How do you know? Specifically, I talk about how things that you see as moral or right now, you know, 25, 30 years ago, sometimes even 10 years ago, weren't moral or right or weren't a consideration. And getting students to think outside of their own experience and expand it to thinking about others, which is, you know, the root of what we're trying to do as leadership educators, being caring and concerned and concerned about others as they're making decisions in these organizations. I specifically give them the example of, well, I lie and tell my students I'm 26 years old. I am not 26 years old, but I do remember a time where you could smoke in the office at work. And when I share it, and there's this collective gasp from my students that are like, someone was smoking in the office, you know, and I share that, you know, at that time it was okay, but we didn't know what we knew about smoking in that moment. And so they're always surprised, but I tell them, like, keep in mind, like, what is moral or illegal now may not be moral and illegal in 10 years. And how are your values and strengths and your organizations adjusting and making the decisions about, you know, what to keep and what not to keep? So definitely that being an agitator resonates for sure with me. So I love hearing this, you know, because it feels like it's so applicable to my life.
Yeah. Yeah. And that particular theme, the agitator theme, you know, it was, you know, faculty or, you know, facilitators, you know, program directors, leadership development folks, you know, they were constantly agitating their students' thinking, you know, pushing them to think critically, to rethink, to develop, to dive deeper, you know, in their experience about leadership and, you know, pushing them and also participants shared these stories of how, you know, that helps students to examine, discover, and understand their talents and strengths and purpose. Being an agitator, that was one of the third, you know, that's our third theme. Fourth, you know, was being an advocate. You know, many participants described how they created safe or brave spaces in their classrooms. And you know, they really felt that their classrooms could be a safe space to talk about some of the issues you just talked about, Lauren, and be a safe place for experimentation and reflection, you know, as well as conversations about turbulent issues and social justice and identity exploration. The fifth one was being a role model. And that one really resonated for me. I always thought that we should facilitate learning in our classrooms in the ways that we would like, you know, our students to go off into the real world and facilitate, you know, their organizations. And if we're, you know, if you walk into any leadership classroom, more often than not, it's set up in a circle or a U, you know, the fishbone, whatever you want to call it, because we want to be in dialogue with each other. And so that's important. It's not going to be, you know, a passive, you know, lecture style. And participants in the study describe modeling leadership through the way they taught or facilitated learning in their classrooms. You know, they saw teaching as a type of leading. This was because they either had great role models or they sought to emulate, you know, that as a part of the leadership teaching process. And as I mentioned, they were modeling the leadership they wanted their students to exhibit. And then the last one was being passionate. You know, these participants articulated deep affection for their work, from teaching and learning to their research and students. And I can definitely, you know, that definitely resonates with me. You know, my passion is about, you know, the developing and increasing the capacity of leadership educators to do their work. And I'm able to, you know, to transfer that into my work with students because I'm always trying out new stuff and finding different ways to agitate my students learning to dive deeper into their own leadership development journeys.
Yeah, it sounds like some of what you experienced and I've experienced and what the participants from your studies experienced transferred from that being to becoming, meaning they've used some of the things that they noted helped them, you know, get into the field to help teach their students. The one that immediately stands out is being a role model, you know, connects with who brought us or how we got into the field, especially when there's not a feeder path like there is for doctors or lawyers.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, so that's some of the research I've been working on over the last few years. And if you want to learn more about leadership educator journeys and leadership educator identity development, you should check out the work of Corey C. Miller and Carrie Priest and the journal Leadership Education, and specifically their model of leadership educator professional identity development, as well as an upcoming issue of New Directions for Student Leadership Development, co-edited by me and Carrie on becoming and being a leadership educator.
And thank you for sharing those additional resources. And that officially wraps up our first full episode. Thank you all for joining us on this journey as we're becoming and being leadership educator podcasters. Thanks to our listeners for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this intro podcast. We'd like to thank the James M. Cox Jr. Institute for Journalism Innovation, Management, and Leadership within the Grady College of Journalism and Mass Communication at the University of Georgia, facilitated by Dr. Keith Herndon, the William S. Morris Chair in News Strategy and Management.
And our wonderful theme music was composed, performed, and mixed by Dr. Matthew White, a trumpeter, composer, and educator, and he's currently an associate professor of trumpet, coordinator of the jazz and commercial music, and director of ensembles at Coastal Carolina University. You can check him out at www.mattwhitejazz.com. Matt, thank you so much for sharing your musical genius with our audience.
You can connect with us on Twitter. I'm at Dr_Leadership, and Lauren is at MRSLAURJB.
And finally, thank you to the Association of Leadership Educators. Check out what the ALE has to offer at leadershipeducators.org, and we hope that you will listen to our next episode wherever you get your podcasts.